Morning, in the name of our Lord Jesus, the Savior of the body, an awesome Lord. If you have your Bible, I encourage you to turn to Mark chapter 16. We're talking for a few minutes here about baptism. What does baptism have to do with salvation? How important is baptism to salvation? Mark 16, it says this, Mark 16, later, Jesus appeared to them, to the 11, this is after the resurrection, and this is totally important, the resurrection is totally important, we'll see in a minute, as he sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. And he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, this morning, we're reading your word. Your word is true. We believe your word. We believe that the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is real. We know he came to them as they sat at the table. He has come to our lives and has spoken to us. And that's, this morning, such a wonderful thing and such a wonderful blessing. And we give him thanks and praise. And he is the Lord of the body, the church. We pray, Father, this morning that our Lord Jesus would be glorified and magnified in every heart sitting here, that we would turn from unbelief to believing that he is the propitiation for our sin, the sacrifice that could take away our sin. He is the power of our Christian life. It's not us, Father. It's him. He is the one who can take us through this earthly life safely into glory, and we can and shall be saved. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. This was the scripture, verse 16. He who believes and baptized shall be saved. That was a scripture for me. As a young believer, I was 15, 16 years old, as a young believer, that I was convicted in my heart that I ought to do this, be baptized with water. Why? First of all, I'd like to say from the scripture, you're going to say to me, and I can hear you saying in your heart, what's he going to say about the rest of the scripture? What's he going to say about the back end here? That's the answers I want. I'll do the baptizing done. I'll go do some of that teaching, but what about that end? And I'm going to say to you that the Holy Spirit has left that to you as the children of God this morning. I'm not going to speak a lot to that, but it's of utmost importance that as you walk and you live your Christian life, as you walk with Jesus, that I prayed something that the Spirit put into my heart, and that is that you do not live out your Christian life by your own strength. The strength of your Christian life is the Lord Jesus Christ. Like, you reckon yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He's not saying it's optional. He's saying it's everything of your Christian life. Therefore, this morning, we go with confidence and we baptize those who have repented and believed. There's a few things here. The conviction in this verse is, one conviction I had was I believed. I knew I believed the gospel because I knew what the Lord Jesus Christ, what the Spirit of God had done into my heart. I knew my believing was authentic and real. And it says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Did you see that? He didn't say that he that believeth and is baptized, you might get to the end of your road and find salvation. You might make it through. You know, he was saying that he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. The gospel is this. Jesus, when he started coming into the... And let me back up here a second. Who wrote this book? The book of Mark. This is an eyewitness of the Apostle Peter, probably to Mark. to John Mark. John Mark wrote this, but Peter, our dear friend, the Apostle Peter, was the eyewitness to this. And I love how he takes the word, and God has used him to take and put his eyewitness account into very specific and small portions. He didn't go into great detail about the things that were happening. Some of the other apostles did, and I'm glad for that as well. But with the Apostle Peter, it seems like the Holy Spirit wanted us to get a few things right. Jesus went into the surrounding regions, and he preached two things. He preached that men ought to repent and believe the gospel. Let me read it. Jesus went to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. What an awesome time in history. And now we're living in the time when he says these other promises. He says, go and teach the gospel to all nations. But he said there, the time is fulfilled, repent and believe the gospel. There are two things that make up the gospel, believing the gospel and receiving the gospel. And I'm going to say to you that these two things are the same thing. From the book of Acts chapter 10, there's a scripture there where Peter was preaching and he never said once to the Gentiles there, to Cornelius, he never said once that they ought to repent. But I'm going to tell you that repenting and believing become one and the same thing. How can that be? It's like this. If you believe the gospel, you already have to repent to believe the gospel, because what you were doing was you were walking in unbelief. And repenting is simply going from unbelief to belief. It's going completely the opposite direction. You were not believing that Jesus was the Savior. That was the problem with the Jewish people. They could hardly believe that Jesus Christ, Jesus, the son of Joseph, could be the Savior of the world and could die for, would come into the world while he walked on the earth. They couldn't believe that this could be the Son of God. That had to be the greatest blasphemy, they said. The leaders of their day said that is blasphemy. Those who believe in the Prophet Muhammad and Islam, that is the greatest thing that Nabil Qureshi had to overcome, was that if Jesus was who he said he was, he had to be the Son of God. And if he was the Son of God, then there was no other way of salvation. And when he understood that, he got converted. He believed in Jesus and was saved. Peter said, through his name, whoever believes in him shall receive the remission of sin. Here is the good news. Repent, turn around, believe the truth, Jesus Christ the Lord, and be baptized. From unbelief in the Savior of the sinner to believing to a physical water baptism. Why is this important? And then there's three things, and I'd like you to turn with me, have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2-3, and we'll start at verse 13. There are three examples this morning of why we baptize with water. There are three examples. The first example, let me read this first, 3:13. And who is he who will harm you if you become followers? What is good? There are lots of people, right? But if in the church, in the body of Christ, the law was given for unbelievers. But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed, and do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. So if you suffer because you were baptized this morning, it is good. If you suffer for believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and repenting of your unbelief in him, You suffer for that, that is awesome. It's good. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just. And here it is, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. Here are some of the secrets of the gospel. By whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who formerly were disobedient. When once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, 8 souls were saved through water. There is also an antitype, or a corresponding answer, you might say, which now saves us. Baptism, not the removal of the filth of the flesh. It's not that we're taking some melody and saying that you have all your sins, bring all your sins here, and we're going to wash them off of your flesh this morning. We're not doing that. But it is the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers having been made subject to him. And now there are three vindications. There are three people that show us the vindication of baptism in our salvation. Number one is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. What does baptism, water baptism have to do with our salvation? Well, water baptism is a seal, A, that repentance has happened and believing has happened. That's what repentance, having faith toward God and repenting toward our sin and faith toward God is. Repentance has happened and believing has happened. We believe that he is the Savior. We believe that his suffering once for us in the flesh was sufficient for all our sin, present, the past ones, and the future ones. Number one, the vindication number one, that we come with confidence and baptize those who have rightly believed, is that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. Buddha this morning, I can tell you, we can do some comparisons. Let's compare some religions. There is no other religion upon the face of the earth where their Savior went before them, died. They've all done that. Their Savior went before them. These two things they did do. They all died. Buddha is dead. He is gone. He is somewhere, I don't know where, worms have eaten his body. Muhammad. This morning, Muhammad can't come back in his spirit. He doesn't come back in his spirit and give strength to those who follow him. He isn't able to one day split the sky and come from heaven or wherever they say he is, from paradise, to rescue his followers. But there is one Savior who can. There is the Lord Jesus Christ, who though he died and was buried, like we will this morning by baptism, the antitype, the clear, the answer of the clear conscience, that melody has died with Christ. She was buried. Her old man was buried with Jesus in baptism. And that's wonderful, but that wouldn't be enough. It had to be a Savior who would come forth from the grave and give then life to live that Christian life. What good is a dead Savior? What good is a dead Buddha if you need him? If that's what you believe in, that's who you believe in, and you need him, and he's not there. What good is Muhammad when you need him? He's not there. But Jesus has risen from the grave, and he lives, and he's given his spirit to his children so that the power of the gospel is lived out in our mortal flesh. Number one is the Lord Jesus Christ and his awesome resurrection, and we live this morning by the power of Jesus Christ. It wasn't our own righteousness that saved us. It wasn't our lineage that saved us. We, like sheep, have gone astray. Everyone has sinned. All have sinned and come short. No, we were not born in the flesh. We were not born in the flesh, basically good. But God. But Jesus Christ, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus because of the resurrection, because he actually could do it and has the power to give us the same power to walk our life through successfully. And he has the authority to say that he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. No other religion can say and give it, put a stamp and a guarantee upon anything they say, because they are not alive to see it to the end. But Jesus is, and he's coming again. That's one of the reasons we think about the birth of Christ, because there's also a second coming of Christ. There was a first coming, and it was totally important that our sins could be forgiven, that our sins could be paid for, that a just God would pay for the sins of every human being who ever lived upon the earth, because we couldn't do it. And by his righteousness and justice, we would have had to be punished forever. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Now that's quite a savior, isn't it? We have an eternity ahead of us where he's going to continue to show his righteousness and his goodness and his exceeding riches of his grace. You know, you see, you experience the exceeding riches of his grace when you come to him, and that is incredible, but it's multifaceted. And what's yet to be experienced, I don't know. But can you imagine this morning, if your salvation was going to be on your good works, how your life would be up and way down? You might feel good the moment you did a kind act. You might feel, but you know, and I know, how we lived in the flesh. Number two was Noah. The vindication that we have through baptism, and an example here, is the man named Noah. God said to Noah, he said, the scripture testifies that God said that Noah has found grace with me. And that's pretty good. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? If you knew that God said that I have found in my sight these people sitting in these benches, and I'm going to give them grace. This is Noah. This is the man who found grace in the eyes of God. Good testimony. But how would you accept that and believe that this morning? How would you believe that this morning unless he had done what God said for 120 years, prepared this ark to the saving of his household? How would you believe, how would I believe that that really meant much at all? And then he took his family by faith. He took his family in. God shuts the door. At that moment, things are coming together, and his faith, what was, is just being vindicated, right? And then comes the flood, and we see that this is the answer of the good conscience. See, the third vindication this morning is Melody herself. That she has believed the gospel, she has a clear conscience before God, and her sins are forgiven, they're washed away, and she is in right standing with God. And God, Jesus himself says, she is being baptized. She believed the gospel. He that is baptized, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. This, the answer this morning is just like to Noah, where the stamp of God wasn't just words, but it was, he did what God said. God brought this great flood down, and we know of a truth, who lived after the flood? It was Noah and his family. He had rightly believed. Melody this morning is indicating that her conscience is clear, and how much. Melody, where are you? I don't see her. Oh, there. Oh, sorry. Good. Melody this morning, through life, you're going to want a clear conscience. And this morning, as your conscience, you know before God that you know that Jesus says these things. You've believed the gospel. You've believed that he's died on the cross. He bore in his body your sin. Your personal sin was on him on the cross. And as we walk through life, all of us here who've walked through life many more years, some have walked 50 more years than you. But a clear conscience, to walk with a clear conscience is vital, notwendig for you, no German, so needful. It's so vital this morning. But it's an antitype. It's the answer. It's corresponding to what actually has happened within her life. So we have the Lord Jesus Christ vindicated through his resurrection, that he can actually do what he says he will do. We have Noah. We experience, because we see how God has worked in the past, we know how God is going to work in the future in our walk. He has come because he wants to give us the full assurance. You know that? He doesn't want you walking in no man's land and sometimes thinking this and sometimes thinking that, but he wants to put the seal upon your heart. He wants to put this seal that God has said, you're righteous because Jesus has died for your sin. And you have turned your back from the unbelief that you had to believing and receiving Jesus Christ. Because believing is that true, authentic, real. Because believing is that true. It's the true. It's the authentic. It's the real. Is also repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. True believing is repenting. And true repenting is believing. And baptism is the answer of a heart that Jesus said shall be saved. I can't give you anything better. Do you want to know that you're saved this morning? Have you believed the gospel? Have you believed the record of his son? Have you believed and turned from your unbelief? It's just unbelief when we say that I'm too wretched and too wicked. You are too wretched and too wicked, but we have a Savior who is greater. We have a Savior who lives. Baptism is the answer of a heart that shall be saved. And Jesus said so.